Call your attention to the announcements in the worship bulletin. I want to call special attention to Wednesday. Wednesday changed. The Wednesday activities have changed. There will be no supper fixed each Wednesday until sometime in mid-August. I'm not sure of the date. Also, we're meeting at 6:45. We are praying, we're singing, and we're singing some more and praying some more. And if you'd like to come for about a 45-minute service, music and prayer, come at 6:45, and we'll be here with you. Other activities are listed, and we will basically leave them there. If the registration books will be passed out, that would be helpful. Your prayer requests, if you will make them, put them on a pew card, and then place it in the offering plate, or if it needs to be mentioned in this service and we don't give an opportunity, get it to the pulpit and we'll try to announce it. Are there announcements that need to be made from the congregation? Good to see you. We began to hear 2 or 3 weeks ago, we're going to be gone, we're going to be gone, we'll be gone. So we'll see somebody that I get to preach to this morning, I'll get to share the gospel with. And you're also preaching to me, and I thank you for that opportunity. You might, sometimes I wonder if we, before we get to it, if we know what's the prayer of confession, what we're confessing, and you might want to use our quiet time as a time to glance over that as we prepare to worship. Let us prepare our hearts.
Let's begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is in the bulletin, if you will turn in there. From the north to the south, the east and the west.
Sing to the Lord.
Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth.
Bring forth, O mountains, into song.
For the Lord has comforted God's people and has compassion on those who suffer.
Neither he nor son shall strike them.
Can a woman forget her nursing child or ignore the child in her womb?
Neither can God forget us.
Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth.
Bring forth, O mountains, into song.
Let us stand and break forth into song this morning. I'd like to see some smiles out there this morning.
Jesus loves me.
Let us bow our heads. Let's reflect on the love of Jesus. Today is the day before Memorial Day. We call it Memorial Weekend, to remember those who have died for our country. There's a nice message on the fourth page of your worship bulletin. Lord God, we come into your special presence, realizing, Lord, that you're with us every moment of every day, and there's no place that we can go to hide from you. And Lord, why would we want to? But sometimes we ignore or forget or just are not sensitive to your presence. But Lord, make it so as we have come together in this place this day, that we will know that we have been in the presence of deity, of God, of creator, of redeemer, of sustainer. That your spirit abides with us, and especially when your people meet in your name. Thank you for the privilege of meeting with you, that you would send a visit unto us. Lord, speak to us, speak through us. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We come to the time in our service where we confess our sins. Our call to confession today comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 37 and 39. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captivity, and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong and acted wickedly, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their pleas, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. And please join me in the prayer confession in unison. O great provider, we love to worry. We worry about our looks. We worry about our health. We worry about our jobs. We worry about money. We worry about the future. We worry about worrying too much. We act as if you do not know our needs. We act as if the birds go hungry and the flowers go unclothed. We act as if you care more for the world around us than you care for us. Wake us up, O God. Help us see our value in your eyes. Help us feel your care for our every need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness, the one who returns us from exile, the one who brings light to those who dwell in darkness. Remember us as a mother remembers her children. The one who offers forgiveness of sins will pardon our weaknesses and bring us peace.
When I survey the wondrous cross.
Oh,
Statement of faith this morning comes to the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screen, but it's also in your hymnal on page 716. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen. Express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sent us today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Think of us in this way as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Let's go to God in prayer. Jim, will you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, this weekend, we remember those that died. Jesus,
Thank you, Kim. Our scripture lesson today comes from two books of the Bible. First, Isaiah chapter 49, 8 through 16, and then Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. This is what the Lord says, "In the time of my favor I will answer you, and in the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritance. To say to the captives, 'Come out,' and to those in darkness, 'Be free.' They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of the swan. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.' Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." And now from Matthew. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or, 'What shall we drink?' Or, 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Those who are going to Guatemala are leaving Saturday. Is that right? With us in this hour are Jeff and Sam and Pam and Jesse and who else? Jordan is going. It's five. And who else from Jenkins Church? I thought there were six. One, two, three, four, five. Elizabeth, y'all will stand. Lord, we stand before you, your servants. These have heard the call and said yes to a special job of servitude. They go to represent you. We thank you for the abilities that you have given and for the willingness to share these. We pray your blessing upon the work. We pray your protection. We pray your blessing upon the relationships. Lord, we pray for the gospel, the good news of Jesus, be magnified, and that through the word people will be drawn closer to you.
And those that don't know you will come to know you and trust you unto salvation and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. What are you worried about? Sermon titled this morning is Worry versus Trust in God. What is your big worry this morning? One of the expressions, or part of the expression of the prayer of confession, mentioned some of our worries. That was taken from Jesus' words, the Sermon on the Mount. Before we think about our worries too seriously, I want to call your attention to one verse, or two verses, from the Proverbs. Wise sayings. You want to really know how Solomon became so wise? Well, he asked for wisdom, but then he tried everything else he could in life. We read about that in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. And then he concluded that life was really to fear God and to keep His commandments, for this was the whole duty of man. And he said in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That could be interpreted or translated, fear the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Well, I see it this way. Alright? Solomon confessed that he had saw it so many ways, and nothing really worked out except to trust in the Lord's Word. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, God, and He, God, shall direct your path. And sometimes we say, but I want to try it on my own. Let me try my way. Just give me an opportunity. Maybe my way will work. Well, if it's contrary to God's way, forget it. You might call that a test for preaching. Are any of you worried? That's a little more than concern. And what is it that you are worried about? Many people are worried. Many people are living in fear. You may have run into some. You may have heard them express their fear. People are worried about the economy. And we can blame the news media, but maybe the news media are just reflecting what they hear. They're supposed to be reporters, are they not? And they probably are reporting what they have heard from people. And they may be expressing their own concerns also. Worried about the economy. What's going to happen? Are we going to have another depression? Are we in a recession? What are the Chinese going to do? They loaned us a bunch of money. How are we ever going to pay them back? They're going to come and take us over. Well, we've been hearing that before they loaned us a bunch of money. We heard that when they were enemies of us. We're worried about the future of our country. I have some concerns. Doesn't look very bright, does it? We're worried about our health. And we get consumed with our health. And we spend millions and billions of dollars on our health. We build big hospitals and more hospitals. And we worry. We want to live close to a hospital. And when my parents became older, they lived about 7 or 8 miles from the hospital, and they thought about moving closer to the hospital because they were concerned about their health. And then having moved a little further away from a hospital, it went through my mind the other day. Well, can I get to the hospital in time? Well, can you get there from Nolensville? Either. Worried about our children. You parents are worried about your children, are you not? Especially if they're still at home. Maybe when they're gone, you worry about them. And children worry about their parents. They just think the parents can't get in out of the rain. Right? And maybe they need a shower. Parents, your children worry about you. Yeah. I've got a... Well, Nikki was with Elizabeth yesterday, and they saw a spot on my arm. It's a bruise, and I don't know how it got there. What is that on your arm? And that daughter that we fight with a lot or argue with, she's real concerned. I think she's afraid something's going to happen to her, that she's going to have somebody to disagree with. Well, worry about the church. You ever worry about your church? It goes through my mind. I hope it's not worry. I have some concerns about the church. The congregation and then the individuals in the church, I have some real concerns, especially the inactives. Wrote a little article last month and going to try to follow up on that some way. People that make commitments to the Lord and then forget about that commitment. I have to admit, I'm a little bit concerned, and I even have some anxiety about flying over the Pacific Ocean. There may be a specific spot that plane will go down. But so what? So what? I will come back to see y'all, but if I don't, I'm trusting in the Lord with my trip to Japan also. We leave a week and 4 days from now. We get so wrapped up in material things or in the material that we often forget about God, and we forget that He cares for His own. So if the sermon had a theme this morning, it would be God's care for His own. God cares for us. He cares for you. And He cares for me. And He's done so much to prove that. If we don't forget about God, we kind of place Him on a shelf. And in our move, we found a lot of stuff in our garage and in our attic that had been almost forgotten. Oh, yeah! I forgot I had that. Right? Oh, yeah! But do we not kind of do God that way? We, even good church people, even those who participate in the activities of God's church, and we forget that He is really in charge, And we don't need to be in charge. If we were, we would really have a mess. Right? So, if we don't totally forget about Him, and some people do, God, who is that? Others who think about Him, they don't want Him to have too much influence in their life. And we should worry if we're living like that. It's a good time to worry. It's a good time to be concerned. No, it's a better time to make adjustments, good adjustments, toward God, move toward God. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Actually, He's already compelling us to come to Him. Come unto Me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, or I'll give you a blessing. Jesus said a lot. He spoke to every kind of person. He spoke to the rich, He spoke to the poor, He spoke to the people in charge, He spoke to the people who were being pushed around by those in charge. And in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, He spoke to a gathered group of followers, disciples, students. We haven't figured out yet, or I haven't, who all made up this group that heard the Sermon on the Mount, but we think it was a large number of people. And they were worried about every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. They were worried about clothing. They were worried about, and He mentions clothing, they were worried about food, what they were going to eat, and what they were going to drink. And all of their worry produced bushels of wheat. Did it not? The worry just brought in a lot of food for them. No, it didn't. And I've added housing. They were worried about shelter. But they had their priorities wrong. Their God, if you go back to verse 24, God and Mammon, you cannot serve God and money. The version, New International Version of the Scriptures used. But the King James used the word Mammon. Material things. And we get so wrapped up in our material things. And some of it is not worth calling home. And personal experience, an old chisel robe, I guess, has about five drawers on this, about this wide, about this tall, five drawers on this side, placed on this side with the door that's detached to hang clothes in, I guess, or you could stack quilts in it or whatever, back in the days of a lot of quilts. And the veneer, it's veneer, and the veneer is all loose and cracked. But I found it at a yard sale one day, and I thought it was a pretty piece of furniture. It had potential to be a pretty piece. I took it home and put it in the little outside shed over on Ramblewood. And it sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there. And that got hotter and hotter and hotter. And then it would get colder and colder and colder. And that veneer that was still veneer, it's loose and flopping now. We moved that thing to the new garage. And Elizabeth said yesterday, let's get rid of that. No! I have hope for that piece of furniture. I really do. And that's just an illustration of how we get excited about, or I get excited about, and you do too, the material things of life. And we We'll hang by our thumbs, or we'll stand on our head. We'll do anything within, some of it not even within reason, to gain more. And most of it is not worth hauling home, in my case. Now, your stuff I know is valuable. I know it is, yeah. But mine is junk. And some stuff we brought from Carol's folks' house 10 or 12 years ago, and it's never been unwrapped. But we're saving it for something, for our great-grandkids, I guess, so they can remember that granddaddy had, or grandmother had, a bowl that would hold soap. And we're serving that. We got the garage full. If we had a little outhouse, we would have it in there. Am I describing your situation too? You know where I live. You've been there. I mean, it's your house. It's the same. Now, what we're doing is we're serving mammon. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Then he went on to talk about worry. Went on to talk about worry in Matthew 6:25 and following. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things of life will come. Now, we know that we've got more sense than to think that he would say, just sit down and wait for them. No. We go to work, but we don't put them first as we have. In so many cases, maybe you did, but you're in a minority if you haven't put things first. But worrying is pretty much the way of life for God's people. It has always been, I guess. It was with Isaiah's hearers or readers. And back in Isaiah chapter 49, the people in Isaiah 49 were in bondage in Babylon. The people had sinned, the people of Israel. They had sinned, they had ignored God's word, they had refused to give a Sabbath year, and for 490 years they refused to celebrate the Sabbath year. And I've figured that up for you before, and my math when I'm standing in the pulpit is really terrible. But they were sent off to captivity for 70 years to give back, or to lose, that which they refused to give God when they had an opportunity to. So it went on for 70 years. But now it was time for them to go home. They had paid the penalty. They had served. They had paid back to God, not willingly, but they had paid back that Sabbath year. If you ever think about not giving God what he has asked for, better think again and go read about the Israelites having to spend 70 years to pay back the Sabbath year, or the sabbatical year. If you ever think about not giving God one day out of seven, better go back and read that. Think about not giving God his portion of your income. He's going to get it some way. It might be in lost wages. I don't know how it's going to be. But what he deserves, because he owns everything, but what he deserves, he's going to have. And we give it willingly, or he gets it some other way. They could now return to Israel. They had served the time of servitude under the Babylonians. God sent the Persians. God sent Cyrus from Persia. Cyrus and his crew came in, overthrew the Babylonians. They took charge of Babylon, and they were willing, through Ezra and Nehemiah, they gained permission for the Israelites to go back to the promised land. But it's always a but. Always a but. Is that right? Do we have similar fears and worries when we are given opportunities? What? Similar to what? Well, the fears and the worries that the Israelites had as they were given opportunity to leave Babylon and go back to the land where God had planted them. They had been 70 years away from Israel. They knew that the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The other cities had been destroyed. They had been taken against their will to Babylon, but after a while they just settled in. And it was such a long way back to Israel. Their former homes had been destroyed. There was really nothing to go back to. Jerusalem, ruins. And other people now inhabited their former land. And being in captivity so long, they began to justify their fears, I guess. They began to think that God had forsaken them and that God had forgotten them. They began to talk about and think about that God didn't care about them anymore. They began to conceive in their wrong thinking that God had abandoned them. And someone suggested, and I read this statement somewhere, and then I never could find it the second time. Isn't that terrible? So I can't validate it. But they began to believe that they were unworthy of God's love. And they were unworthy of God's care. And that they were unworthy of His help. That they were not of any value in God's mind. And we may have similar fears to that as we are given opportunities. Or we, if we don't have them, we may act that way. Think about it. The church is faced with some great work, some great opportunity, or maybe some simple task that we can do. Something like deliver a meal through Meal on Wheels or something like that. Or fix the water pipe of some widow. But when we're faced with a great work, like go and install medical equipment in a clinic in Guatemala, many of us will see the reasons why we can't do it. But what we're doing is we're looking at our own strength. We're looking at our own resources, and we fail so often to look to see what God can do through us if we'll make ourselves available to Him. I ask you to think of something. Think of something that you had opportunity to be involved in. Think of some great work for God and His kingdom. And you let your fears, and you let your doubts, and you let your worries keep you from doing it. You know, some people will pass up being saved. They'll pass up the salvation experience. They'll pass up the opportunity to have an eternal life with God rather than with Satan because they fear that they cannot do it. But friends, salvation is not our doing. And living the Christian life is not our doing. It's God's doing. Through Jesus, salvation is God's doing through Jesus. Living the Christian life is God's doing as we are guided by the Holy Spirit. But like the Israelites who felt unworthy, more than a few that I have discussed salvation with have expressed that they were unworthy of being saved. That's a sense of humbleness carried too far, friends. But we are unworthy if you really get to thinking about it. The song Amazing Grace expresses it so beautifully. amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We are wretches before God. The disciples, in the presence of Jesus, felt unworthy. The man with the sick servant, the centurion, he expressed his unworthiness before God. But that's where God's grace comes in. Sure, we're unworthy, but we need to think past our unworthiness and consider God's grace. His unmerited favor, or His coming to the rescue of those who are not worthy of being rescued. Some may even believe that Jesus can't. He can't save us. You know, the Israelites, some believe that we will never get back to Israel. Or there's nothing when we get back to go back for. Too hard of a task. What opportunity is before us now? What opportunity is before us now? Could it be your salvation? And if you're not saved, that could be that opportunity that you don't want to pass up. What individual thing, just between you and God, if there can be anything that doesn't include those around us, but between you and God, your salvation is up to you and God, between you and God and Jesus. An opportunity to trust God as your Savior. You say, no, I can't be that good, or I want to pass it up. Or I'm afraid I can't live up to what's expected of a Christian. What opportunity is the church facing that we're worried about or are fearful that we can't do it? But who would ever have believed that we could sponsor the Yatsky family? If we had been presented with this 4 years ago and asked to sponsor a family from Russia, who would ever have believed that we could do it? We would have said, no, we can't do it, we can't afford it. Right? But God has made it possible. We could not on our own, and we still can't by ourselves, but with God, we are doing it. Youth program. Youth program is at a crossroads. Who would believe, though, who would have believed 10 years ago that we, Jenkins Church, could have had or could have the youth program that we have right now? Who would have believed it if you were here 10 years ago? Didn't look possible, did it? It didn't look possible. But we've got it. We've got it. We may be a bit worried now. Cast your worries upon Jesus. He will take them for us. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In Isaiah 49, God assures the Israelites of His care and His blessings. And He assures us, Jenkins Church, the same thing. That's a message to Jenkins Church today, and to you, and to you, and to you. Amen. Sam. Melody. Read again Isaiah 49 and the last portion. Can a mother forget her nursing child? No. But she may. But God won't forget us. Stand with me as we sing. And just be assured that God